everybody, this is Lisa.
And this is Joe.
And welcome to your Cheap Date Show for July 7th, 2007. On this week's show,
we're doing it al fresco.
Scandalous.
Well, not really. The only thing, what we're doing is food.
What is this al fresco?
Al fresco.
I don't speak.
Are you just a caveman? I'm just a yeah. Caveman. I don't understand your al fresco.
No speako your lango.
Al fresco is my name on the radio when I was in college. Hey, everybody, al fresco with
you. Al fresco.
Al fresco with
you. Oh, stop it. Even you're not that goofy.
Fine. Hey, it's 7707. How about that? What are you going to do about that? It's a numerologist.
We should get married.
Gasp.
No, I can't do that again.
We went through that. But it was good. It all turned out well so
Ava
far.
Ava Longoria is getting married today.
Is she really?
Uh-huh. In Paris.
Really?
Yeah, to a basketball player.
Really?
Okay. That's all I know.
Okay. And do I care about Ava Longoria?
Lots of people are getting married today. It's a big, needless to say.
It is. There was a big article in the paper about that, about how people are taking... They're taking this as like a sign of something.
Yeah, it's funny because last year I had two friends who had babies that could potentially have been born on 6606.
Oh, my Lord.
One of them had their fingers crossed for that. And
for it to happen or not happen?
To happen.
Really?
And one of them insisted she would keep that baby inside if it killed her until 1201 on 6706.
My daughter Becky was almost born on leap day.
February 29th.
Which I would have thought.
I'm sorry, February.
February. It's February. It's right next to the library.
You know, it's not like that at all.
No, Rebecca was almost born on February 29th of 1992.
Wouldn't that have been crazy?
Well, I would have thought it was the coolest thing in the world.
She would only be three now.
Mm-hmm. You know, that was a plot. Did you ever see the Pirates of Penzance? That was one of the subplots of that. Oh, yeah.
Do you actually age slower?
Well, in that movie, in that play, it did.
No, you just get less presents.
The production of Pirates of Penzance that I saw was with Jim Belushi as the Pirate King and Rex Smith as, I forgot the character's name, the main guy.
And what
the Pirate King is really the main guy because he has all the fun lines, and Rex is sort of the kid who... And, you know, we'll Google this when we're done. You guys don't have to mail it in, but thank you anyway.
What were we talking about? Al fresco?
Yeah. Do you know who Rex Smith is?
No. Can I Google it later?
You can Google him later, too. He's a big heartthrob, and much in the mold of Peter Frampton, although Peter Frampton actually had talent. But you know what? I digress. We digress.
Seriously,
we are down
digress.
A serious thing. How do we get into this? We got into this through al fresco. 7707. Oh, that's right.
Something about Pirate Kings. I don't know. Let's not trace it back. Let's just move ahead.
Instead of unwinding this, it'd take us longer to unwind it than to actually do it again.
Yeah.
We're going al fresco. But before we go al fresco, we had a lovely summertime treat that you dreamt up, or... In the terms you used on the last show, a phrase you've been using a lot lately, a wild hair. You had a wild hair.
I've gotten a lot of wild hairs. Pretty much everything seems like, well, I got a wild hair. I'm going to college.
I got a wild hair. I think I'm going to
buy a house.
Put a new foundation in my house.
Yeah. Yeah, I pretty much function on.
Ooh, making a lot of noise over there, kiddo.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
I pretty much function based on impulse.
Yeah.
So
tell us about your culinary adventure
that
did not involve a restaurant, but it did involve something you created from the mind of Lisa.
Well, now it's not all that. I decided I wanted to make sangria. And Joe offered to drink some sangria, so
it was a real tough It's a real tough thing to say.
It's a team effort here. Well, you know, you don't want sangria to just sit in your refrigerator for a week. It can last a couple days, but...
Mm-hmm. At some point, you lose its...
Here are the ingredients in sangria. Well, first of all, sangria is a totally free-form... It's a red wine-based punch. Can I call it a punch?
I would, but I wouldn't limit it to red wine, because I have had white wine sangria.
That's... You're right. That's a little bit different. But traditionally... It's red wine mixed with fruit and fruit juice to make a sweet, bright red or bright wine color punch.
Right. In the 70s, there was a brand called Yago Sangria, which is probably still out there. But that's what people used to like get smashed on in the late 70s.
You can do it with white wine, although that's not traditional. And I think you might want to think your recipe out a little bit differently.
Seasoning.
So... The idea with sangria is to make not a good wine into something yummy. So,
or as Rachel would say,
yummo.
Okay.
So no point using your $35 Bordeaux for this. Just go out, buy something fruity for $5.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did. We did get a cab. I've had this conversation with people since then, and the first question they always ask me is, well, what kind of red wine do you use? Not meaning brand, but meaning a Cab, a Merlot, a Pinot. And I'm like, yeah.
Chablis.
You shouldn't even think about it. Cheap is what you use. Because you don't want, I mean, you don't want anything like too dry or like smoky or oaky, I would say. You probably want to lean more fruity. But $5 wine tends to skew fruity anyway.
That's true.
Regardless of what the label says. So, we got our $5 cab.
We didn't get like Mad Dog. We got...
We should have gotten $2 Chuck.
We could have.
That's what we'll do.
Except
next
here
time.
In Chicago, $2 Chuck. Here in the Midwest, $2 Chuck actually costs $3.99 a bottle.
Oh, well, that's no deal.
Or $2.99 a bottle. I don't know. Yeah, no deal. We got this bottle of something from the Jewel. Which has a big round label on it that says "food friendly." it's been rated food friendly. We won't give the brand. We're not going to diss the brand because actually I'm sure it's a serviceable wine. And I'm sure people enjoy this stuff. But it was just like a standard, your basic run of the mill cab.
It wasn't bad. It didn't come in a box. It wasn't the worst wine we could. And it wasn't
same glass.
Great effect. And I tasted it. It was. Joe.
Sorry, go ahead. Continue.
I tasted it. It was fine. It just, you know, all I'm saying is don't blow your good wine on this.
Right.
That's my point. It's a very long point. All right. Here's what you do. You pour the bottle of wine into a pitcher.
We got an awesome pitcher with fish on it at Target on clearance. Now is the time of year. Head over to your local Target.
Yes, now's the time to buy your
look for the stuff
patio.
With the orange tags. There are deals to be had.
Okay.
You it's pour cheap the day. Wine. That's the cheap part. I got to help these people.
You pour your $5 wine into your plastic clearance pitcher with fish on it. Now they're swimming in a sea of blood. Yay.
Oh, God.
To this.
There were flowers, too, you know.
You add.
Bloody flowers.
Yeah, but the flowers were red and orange, and they would have kind of
no,
blended
that's a good point. Okay, I'm sorry.
To this you add, or I added... Orange juice, triple sec.
Oh, yeah.
And a whole bunch of cut up fruit. I used lemons, limes, oranges. Well, actually, a lemon, a lime, an orange, and a handful of strawberries because I had strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
You could use apples. I wouldn't use bananas.
No.
You could use grapes. Grapes wouldn't give a lot of flavor, but they would soak up some flavor,
sure.
And they would be a pleasant.
Apples?
So,
pears?
Pears, maybe. I hadn't thought of that.
We've had sangria at a restaurant at La Tosca over here. They put pears and apples in there.
I know the apples. Oh, yeah, like cubed pears, mm-hmm. Not slices of pears.
Correct.
So all this fruit, triple sec orange juice, let it sit for a day. We didn't let it set for a day. We let it set for a couple hours.
We couldn't wait.
Then you finish it with a little seltzer water. I didn't really see the point of the seltzer water, but okay, that's what the recipe called for. Mm-hmm. And then you serve it with more fresh cut up fruit because the fruit soaks up the wine. And the, I mean, you might want to munch on the fruit, but it gets a little bit.
Yeah.
Mealy. It gets that fruit, that flavor of like turned fruit.
You know,
when fruit
yeah.
starts to generate its own alcohol.
Yeah.
That's what it reminds you of, I think. So I like it with a little fresh fruit. Strawberries, wonderful. Bright purple, poured over ice. Serve it with a straw because it has...
Stains anything it comes in contact with, I might add.
That's true. Yeah. Serve it with a straw because you have big lumps of fruit in it and it's kind of hard to drink.
You get drunk faster, too. You drink
That's not why.
Straw. It's a summery drink. It's perfect for that.
So,
it lends itself to that.
So I made it. I loved it. What did you think?
I thought it was awesome. I thought it was great.
I think it's a great way. It's kicked up a notch because it has triple sec in it, but mm-hmm. it's also mellowed out with all the fruit. So I think it's a great way to enjoy cold wine on a summer day.
Mm-hmm. And it was good the next day, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't let it sit around longer than that. It would start, that fruit really would start to get weird.
Right. And the thing was, is that we used the triple sec. We learned that Osco Drug / Albertsons has its own house brand of triple sec, which I think is pretty interesting.
Yes. Again, buy the cheap stuff.
Exactly.
No point spending your...
But we have a bottle of Cointreau up here. So I think we should try and, next time we make it, we should throw some of that in there and see what happens.
Oh, next time we make it, we're going to throw all kinds of stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to try it with Grand Marnier.
Right.
We could try it with rum.
Oh, yeah. Like a good white rum?
Not too good white rum, but a white rum. I'm not sure tequila sounds good.
Let it be said that as we're talking about this, we all do this. We do this all in the comfort of our home. We don't get behind the wheel of a vehicle here at the Cheap Date Compound.
And run out for more triple sec.
We make sure that whatever we have on hand is what's going to be used. It's not like we would get to turn a phrase here, we don't get a wild hair that this needs some 10 cane white rum and then we run out and get that. So, but you know, this is really good though. And this is classic in the total spirit of Cheap Date because it was a rather inexpensive little summer drink and it was great. Sat out mm-hmm. on the patio and under the big green umbrella and just sipped it.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
And if you know of a good, a two-buck chuck or something of its ilk, and you have some cheap, I think you could even make it with some cheap vodka. I think any kind of, I think a lot of different liquors would work.
Probably. So did you want to canvass our audience?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'd love to hear what you do for sangria, if you make sangria. And, Any crazy ideas you've ever had? White mm-hmm. sangria, red sangria, liquors you add, fruits you add, fruit juices.
Mm-hmm. And you guys are all real great about that. We got a couple of pesto.
Pomegranate juice.
There you go. We got a couple of pesto recipes, which were really cool.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you to those of you who sent those to us. Those were awesome.
Yeah, we're going to have to try that stuff. Mm-hmm. Gosh, we haven't been home to cook. We've been home to make drinks. But we haven't been home to
cook
in like 2 weeks.
The last couple weeks have been nuts. We have, this is the fourth, the big 4th of July weekend, which is sort of extended because the 4th began on a Wednesday, or happened on a Wednesday, didn't begin, it was on Wednesday, and then it carries all through the weekend.
Mm-hmm. So, pretty much the whole week is Festival de Lisa.
Pretty much. That's right. That's right, because July 4th is not just our nation's birthday.
It's my birthday, too.
That's right.
Okay, that's enough about that.
Okay. We do need to mention, what, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say I had college orientation last week. I'm going back to college.
That's right. And the school Lisa's going to is just a few blocks from my office. So it'll be so sweet. We'll be able to meet for lunch.
We're commuting buddies. We can ride the train together.
It'll be adorable.
Yeah.
Oh, don't roll your eyes. I'll be embarrassing you sitting up there eating my caramel corn. We won't go into that.
Yeah.
Okay. The other thing we want to mention about the 4th of July is the fact that once again, and I did a blog entry about this, God, it was 4 years ago now. Wow. We saw American English at the Arlington Heights Frontier Days Festival, which is the big village festival they have every year. Carnival, musical acts, beer tents, yada, yada, yada. American English is one of the premier, they're certainly of the groups that I've seen, they are the best Beatles tribute band that I've ever seen. And they do a whole thing complete with costume changes where they do these songs, do all these Beatles songs. We might have even talked about them last year on the show as well. Mm-hmm. But they were just really, really good. It was almost like you were there.
So at one point, it's like 9:30. They're playing...
they're playing Day in the Life.
Yeah, Day in the Life. And the sound is going crazy. The lights are going crazy. We look to our left, and there's a Ferris wheel spinning. And in front of us, there's this four-year-old girl standing on top of a camp chair, waving Barbies around in the air.
Mm-hmm. Barbies that it lit was, up.
Yeah, this light-up Barbie with a spinning skirt. It was truly psychedelic.
It really was.
And there were no substances involved. But, like, if there's...
Except maybe funnel cake and a big turkey leg.
Yeah.
L-tryptophan. Craig was spinning out.
Really, though, there's, like... There's nothing more psychedelic than just a carnival.
Mm-hmm.
And then fireworks started going off, and we were just like, wow. Yeah.
The other thing to make a note, for those of you in the greater Arlington Heights, northwest suburbs of Chicago area, when we left Frontier Days and we were crossing Northwest Highway, if you're not familiar with the area, this means nothing to you. So tune out, discuss amongst
get
yourselves.
Get on Google Earth.
That's right. You can take a look. The corner of Kensington and Arlington, or Kensington and Northwest Highway.
Do we want to give the GPS coordinates?
We sure can. Let me get out the GPS now. There's a little triangle of grass there, and when we were sitting there, no, there were people camped out there, and you can actually see the fireworks from two different villages at the same time.
Uh-huh.
It's like visual stereo, except you got to turn your head because they're 180 degrees from each other.
That was the worst simile ever.
I'm sorry.
Continue.
No, we're ready to move on to our dining component of this show. You ready?
We got to watch two fireworks shows from the median. We just stood there.
We know how to live here in Arlington Heights. Let's talk about food.
Yeah, that's why we're all here, right?
Okay. We went to one of our very favorite places in the suburbs to eat. Why are you laughing? This is
because we haven't been there since...
Well, I go there. Before I knew you, I used to go there all the time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So it's still one of our favorite places. It's a favorite.
Yeah. No, it's just funny because we haven't been there such a long time.
Just go with it. Just see it's a thing.
Okay. Yeah, it's one of our favorite places. Let's
stop. Too late now. And you know, we don't edit this show, so.
Oh, shut up. Yes, we do.
Hackney's. Hackney's is a long-standing tradition here in Chicago, in the Chicago suburbs. They have a couple of locations in Glenview. They have one up in Lake Zurich. They have one in Wheeling. They even have one in Palos Park and also one in downtown Chicago. Not very far from my office, actually. It's a family-owned... Their logo has a shamrock, but it's not a fakey Irish pub kind of place. We've been to genuine Irish pubs
as
well.
It's not any kind of Irish pub. Actually.
It's not. There's definitely a little bit of an Irish flavor to it. However, it's not Irish themed, would you say?
No, not at all.
Hackney's on Harms, where we went, is actually a restaurant that is located on Harms Road in Glenview, Illinois, across the street from the Forest Preserve. If you've ever taken the North Branch bike trail, which starts in Chicago near Superdog, one of our favorite places, and then ends at the Botanic Gardens up north, you go right by Hackney's. And it's in a neighborhood, right?
Yeah. It's not a place you would probably just find.
Mm-hmm. It was originally somebody's house years and years and years ago, and they used to serve beer and corned beef sandwiches on the porch of this house.
Nice.
And then eventually they turn it into a full restaurant. But they have, it's like you walk up, there's actually a parking lot there, and you're sitting on this patio, and it looks like you're in someone's backyard. Except it's got a full bar, Yes. And it's got a whole bunch of tables and umbrellas on it. And it's very, very cool. You're sitting outside. This is also the year of the 17-year cicadas. There were a few dead carcasses on the ground.
Yeah, they're pretty much over by
now. But they weren't crawling, which was good. But it's a great little place to go. They're open for lunch every day during the summer. Weather permitting, the entire summer they're open during lunch. Especially during the week, it's a great place to go. We actually went on a Sunday, and it was wonderful. The weather was beautiful. We sat under a big, giant old tree.
It was beautiful. We've had a very mild summer mm-hmm. so far.
And the service was wonderful. But let's start off with the food. Let's start off with the drinks. What did you have to drink?
Oh, you know, I had lemonade, mm-hmm. which normally would not be worth mentioning. This was the best lemonade I've ever had. I swear it was made out of lemons and sugar.
That's exactly what it tasted like.
When's the last time you've had that outside of this here
The Cheap house? Date compound?
The Cheap Date Ranch.
Cheap Date Central?
It was amazing. There's nothing more to be said about it. It was just, they didn't brag about it or anything.
Just hands down. It was very simple,
just
elegant.
Just on the menu, lemonade. Good. All right, I'll try it.
It was awesome.
It was amazing.
I had, what I have, I had iced tea, I think. Iced tea. Which was good.
That exceptional?
It was good iced tea. It was nothing to, you know, write home about. And then when you go to Hackney's, what you start off with as your appetizer is the onion loaf. Now, if you've been to Outback for the Awesome Blossom or the Bloomin'
Onion,
whatever. Awesome Blossom is where it's Lone Star, I think. Whatever.
Or Fridays or those chilies, they're all the same.
How does the Hackney's onion loaf compare to those? Or better yet, how do those compare to the Hackney's onion?
I don't eat onion loaves.
Okay, well.
Loaves.
Let's go to the call. Let's go to the phones.
No, typically. The best onion loaf I've ever had, I have to say, was in Galena.
Okay.
At Backstreet.
Okay.
Because they were...
A couple shows ago.
Like,
look it up.
They were like thread thin pieces of onion.
Right.
Breaded and fried in equally thin batter. This is one step up from that. They're slightly thicker bits of onion, but still it's like... They're like onion strings.
Mm-hmm.
Breaded. And then Hackney's... They let them, I think they throw them in the fryer in a clump. They batter them and then throw them in a clump. Because sometimes you'll get a clump where the outside is breaded and then you pull them apart and there's unbreaded onions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like they don't take just whole onions. They do kind of smush them up a little bit and then throw them in there. So it's not like they took an onion, threw it in there, and then fried it.
Well, right. But also they don't fry each string individually.
Right, exactly.
So you get some clumping. So you get... A lot of onion, whereas with the strings at Backstreet, it was much less onion.
Okay, but anyway.
Anyway, it's wonderful. It's rich and oniony and fried.
And you know, it's fried, but it's not over. I want to say it's not overly greasy. It is kind of greasy, but it's not greasy in like the disgustingly gross greasy kind of way. If that makes sense. I mean, they're oily because they're fried, but they're just so good.
Sometimes fried is good.
Fried is good. You got to allow yourself. You got to allow yourself to live because in this world, we only have one life.
That's true.
Bring up the music, boys. Bring up the Danny
Tanner. Boys, we're the boys.
Bring up the Danny Tanner music.
Oh, boy.
There's a lesson to be learned here. Okay, so the fried onions. Go there, and we had they have a whole loaf and a half loaf.
I can't even imagine a whole loaf.
Some people around us did order the whole loaves. We had the half. The half was perfect for the two of us. And I think I ate most of it. I think I did.
Yeah, I think you did.
For our main, again, this was lunch on a Sunday afternoon. You had?
Why don't you talk about what you had first?
I had the famous.
Because you had the thing you ought to order if you go there.
It's the signature meal. And actually, before Lisa moved here, a coworker of hers told her she needs to go to Hackney's and she needs to order the famous Hackney burger.
Which now in perspective is truly bizarre because this is a little tiny place tucked away. It's not a place that you would know from having visited Chicago. You would have to know somebody who lives here to know about Hackney.
And this just happens to be like 3 blocks from my parents' house.
Yeah.
Which is pretty weird.
And I didn't know anything about the geography of here.
There you go.
So.
Anyway, the famous Hackney Burger.
She told me to have this.
It's a perfectly ground beef patty.
It's a hamburger.
But they serve it on dark rye. And the way to classic, to get it truly to be classic is get a slice of Swiss cheese on it. Oh, and it was so good. I ordered it medium. Usually I order medium well.
Yeah.
So, and I've talked about this before. It tasted really good. I'm not really one to go on the rare side. It was kind of pink, but it was still very, very good. And I was really happy with it. It comes with a pickle and a slice of fresh onion and fries. Wait, didn't come with fries, did it?
Mm-hmm.
It did come with fries. Oh, yes, it did.
Yeah, we got fries to share. It's hard to eat fries after you eat the onion strings, though.
That's true. So when you go there, if you're into burgers at all, and if you want to look for the signature dish, that's what you get, Hackney Burger. Now, you.
If you're a vegetarian.
Oh, I think I know one of those. You, I woke up with one this morning.
Oh, jeez. You, every day I wonder if you're going to go to bed with one. It's getting tough. I'm swimming upstream.
Not unlike the Copper River salmon we had from Whole Foods last weekend.
Case in point.
Okay. Do you ever feel like you're like driving down a highway and you have a goal and you have a destination you're going, and I'm just like sort of in the back like Marty McFly on a skateboard, and I'm like trying to pull you off to the side. I'm like yanking your vehicle.
Yeah, well, you no longer offer me bites of your meat entrees, so that helps.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry my chair is making noise. But tell us about what you had.
I had grilled cheese with tomato.
Simple, classic, elegant.
Couldn't have been done better. It came on a nice, hearty, not a thick, but a texturally interesting whole wheat bread, American cheese, of course, and beautiful red ripe tomato, and nothing else. I added a little mustard myself. And it was grilled, it was slathered with butter and grilled. You know what? If I'm going to have whole wheat bread and cheese and tomato, I feel like I deserve butter. And I don't know, grilled cheese, so often you get grilled cheese and the bread is kind of like disintegrating.
Oh, I know.
And the cheese is melty and that's nice, but the bread's falling apart. This was really, I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better grilled cheese and tomato sandwich that was really just that simple and just that good. And I got fries too, but I only ate like two because I had the onions.
So needless to say, we left there two very, very happy people.
Yes.
There's a sunny day. It was the perfect Sunday lunch, wasn't it? Then afterwards, we went to Kohl's and we went to Lowe's.
Yeah, we just bought a freezer for the garage.
That's right. So we'll have lots of cooking adventures
so
to share.
Gosh, we're so suburban.
I know. What happened? Whatever happened to us?
We got married and bought a house.
Yeah, I know. That's what happens.
Same thing that happens to everybody.
So that is Hackney's on Harms. You can find them at 1241 Harms Road. That's just north of Lake Avenue in Glenview. They also have several other locations. There's one right on Lake Avenue, just about a mile and a half away. And again, as we said, they have locations in Lake Zurich, Wheeling, Palos, and Chicago. We'll have the link on our website. And I think that's going to do it for this week. Or this fortnight, sorry.
Gotta get that fortnight in there.
I know. We'd like to remind everyone to make sure you listen to our show that we do for the Woodfield Convention Bureau, Discover Woodfield.
Yeah. Our latest show is about going to see a minor league baseball team.
And that turned out very cool.
What's more cheap date than that?
And if people have a comment for us and they'd like to tell us something, Lise?
I suggest they email dish@cheapdateshow.com.
And you can also call and leave us a voicemail.
If they're more the verbal type.
You can leave us a voicemail.
Or
at
vocal type.
That would be good. Well, you can be. Well, yeah, I knew what you were going for.
Verbal
I think
could
the nice.
Be written. Well, anyway, just give them the number.
206-203-3283. Call, leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear your voices. I'd like to thank everybody for the emails, for the voicemails, for everything else. It's all been, it's been a wonderful thing. And it makes doing this. I'm not trying to sound smarmy. I'm being honest here. I'm not trying to get maudlin.
You're sounding like last show.
No.
But we do love the feedback.
Yes, we do. And we appreciate everything that you you folks do for us.
Oh, and I'm going to buy the Omnivore's Dilemma. Being a vegetarian is not all there is to it.
Okay. Well, we'll have a report on that in a future show.
I may need to start raising my own chickens.
Okay. I don't think we're zoned for that, but I know one of
we
the,
know a trustee.
We know a village trustee who also happens to be an attorney. I think we can work something out. We can get one area rezoned for agricultural. Hasn't been zoned agricultural since 1947, but we can make it happen again.
Has anyone tried?
You know what? I think it's time we did.
All right.
More on the next show. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we will talk to you next time.
Good night.
This podcast is a production of Jeep Date Media at jeepdatemedia.com.
Lisa, she wears black. Typically, she wears monochromatic clothes. But today, for some reason, she's wearing pink, bright pink. This week, Chicago Public Radio presents...